to the podcast. I'm here again with, astonishingly, Dave. What is your middle name?
David Edward Conway. Front door was open, but I pop in and say hi.
That is the absolute truth, folks. The door was open, and he pops in, and it was like, oh.
Hey, is it Monday, November 16th? And is this the Fantasy Hockey Podcast, Death by a Thousand Cuts? I think I'll hang out.
That is the truth. Happy Monday, everyone.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
Is it? Okay, that's cool. Well, it's nice to see you. I wasn't expecting to see you, but thanks for dropping in. How's your team doing?
Team's doing much better, thank you.
And
the Rangers have helped me out a lot. I do have Henrik Lundqvist as my goalie. He was good for, well, they had four games last week, so he was good for three of them. Rick Nash has come on again like the way he's supposed to, with almost 10 points in our league. And Patrick Sharp's starting to come together the way I was hoping he would for Dallas. I've been sitting on him since the beginning. So all these guys are starting to come on that we're having a slow beginning.
Right. That was actually something we were talking about when we first got together this morning, was that a lot of teams, it seems, that built on their core around guys like Crosby, Kessel, Perry, Getzlaff, if you had gone that route and sort of built around those guys, you're obviously pretty much out of luck here in the early going. And your season could pretty much be sunk if you're in a points league like ours and that was the core of your team.
Well, there's a group of us that are 100 points behind everybody else just trying to make up that lost month. So we're hoping everybody else has a lost month.
So I can feel the pain that a lot of people might be going through right now, looking at their teams going, shit, how am I ever going to make up this ground? And, of course, you can't trade those players. You have no leverage, so you really have to ride it out. You're unlikely to drop them unless you're in a money league and you're going to pay $8.5 million to Giroux. That return just isn't going to be commensurate, per se, with the expense.
Well, I know in our league, both Perry has been shopped around a little bit and Getzlaff, and nobody will bite. It's too expensive, and it hasn't shown up yet.
Well, Perry's an interesting one. Anybody that gave up on that file is ridiculous. I mean, Anaheim was a team that a lot of folks said wouldn't necessarily have the greatest regular season, but by playoff time should be something to deal with, and a team that could go deep. But Perry has, what, 5 goals in his last 7 games, 8 points, only 17 shots, actually, and 3 of those goals have come on the power play. Not a lot of shots per, and not much going on even strength, so it's not like things have drastically changed, but the power play production has been there for him. Since the 1st of November, Corey Perry has actually got the 10th best HFI in the NHL, on par with Kucherov. At 2.5, that's pretty excellent. I mean, considering how bad he was in October, his November has turned right around. He's a 1.8 career average. If you haven't listened to the podcast before, HFI is a fantasy hockey statistic, that we use here on the program, if we can call it that. It's a single number that we reference that weighs the entire fantasy stats pack. It's something that I've been using and referring to for, I don't know how many years, 48 years, since the late 50s, I think. And it's a fun...
Since you developed the transmogrifier, I believe.
It's a fun single point of reference for us, and it's something that we have a historical perspective on, because we can look back over the last decade or whatever and see what people are. And generally speaking, it's a way for us to categorize and classify these players and create peer groups so that you can say, okay, Corey Perry... His career number is 1.8. Every now and then he'll have a spike of something over 2. He's actually had 3 times in his career where he's gotten over that 2.0 mark. That's generally reserved for the top 25, 30 players in the NHL, David, through that filter. And he did that, of course, in 2013, 2014. He put up a 2.3. Back in 2010 and 11, he put up a 2.6. That was his career best. And then way back in 2008, 2009, he put up a 2.1. So those were his 3 best seasons. It's what he's been capable of to join that top 30 group. But I've always said, when I've seen rankings attached to this player that put him in the top 3 or top 5, I think that's unrealistic. It, it may happen, but if you really look at his career, the trajectory, how it's gone, he's basically been Vaclav Prospel, Dave. He's either a 1.8 or a 1.9, or he's something well over 2.0, back and forth, just like Prospel did, going way back to like 2007, 2008. So that's the way I look at the Corey Perry file. It's great to see him back producing. I hope you did not give up on him out there, because that's a core piece that you would have had no leverage to trade, and you would have just had to wait it out. And even though Anaheim's not exactly lighting it up right now, at least Corey Perry is. I think since we're with the Anaheim Ducks, we should talk about one of the bigger stories of the day for me, and that is the expected debut of Nick Ritchie, a guy that was taken number 10th overall in 2014, left winger for the Ducks. I wanted the Leafs to draft him that year. I could not believe that the Leafs went in a different direction. I wanted them to grab Nick Ritchie. This is a guy that had 29 goals in his last 48 OHL games. He has 9 goals in 12 games played at the AHL level this year. And you're considering how little they've gotten out of a guy like Hagelin in Anaheim, they could use a guy like Ritchie to step up and emerge here at the NHL level. And it sounds like he's going to get a chance to play Monday night, David. So for me, that's a pretty big deal. I think that I went and grabbed him this morning in our league. I was going to say, I think that he's got a real good shot here to make an impression.
You know, Anaheim has 4 games this week as well, too, so that could be something to look out for as well if you want to try and sneak in an extra game, grab some points.
How do we not talk about Matt Duchene and Nate MacKinnon? If you're not exactly clear on just how good it's been, I don't know what Matt Duchene was told, but this is a big turnaround from what happened. I mean, on the season now, through the HFI filter, he's up to 1.7. He was 1.4 last year. That's what you would hope to get from a decent defenseman. You know, considering he has hit that 2.0 mark once before in his career. You know what else kind of blew my mind before I get too far into it? Matt Duchene is in his 7th season. Like, to me, I still sort of think of him as a young player. But he is in his 7th full NHL season. He's only 24 years old. But Matt Duchene in his last 7 games, 12.7 goals, 26 shots on goal, 4 power play points. He's getting looks on the wing with MacKinnon. And Nate MacKinnon is among a group with Duchene, the only players to put up a 3.0 or better HFI since the 1st of November are Duchene, MacKinnon, Seguin, and Kane. So that's how good Duchene and MacKinnon have been recently. MacKinnon, he's up to 19 and 17 now, and the 2.6 territory HFI, David, that this guy has on his file is 5th best in the NHL. I looked like an ass last year when I said he was going to finish with a top 5 HFI. I said, in fact, he would be number 3 overall last year, and I helped some people stink it up in their fantasy leagues, I'm sure. A great many of them. But this year, at this point, he is, in fact, a top 5 play at 2.6. And in the last week alone, actually the 4th best HFI at 3.5. He was a 1.3 last year, David. It was brutal. It was a nightmare situation for anyone that invested in him early. 2.6 this year. Basically double that. The expectations, of course, created by the 1.8 he put up in his rookie season. That is a huge number for a rookie. Of course, highlighted by that strong finish of his and what he did in the playoffs. He had 24 goals that year in 82 games played, 63 points. That is incredible. But if you do the eye test on Nate MacKinnon as well, if you just forget about all the box scores, David, MacKinnon just looks like a beast out there. The low center of gravity, the way he takes the puck behind the net, drives to the front, makes dishes. I mean, Duchene, these are great numbers for Duchene, but, you know, Rito Baric probably could have buried a couple of them. Patrick Kane, you've gotten enough coverage, so it's not like we need to really talk about you, but what the fuck, David? 7 goals in 7 games, 7 assists, 3 power play goals, 2 game winners, 30 shots, a +9. What he's done right now cumulatively is best in the NHL through the HFI filter. 3.6. 28 points in 18 games. 13 goals on 68 shots. He's got 6 power play goals. He is, in my view, the top play thus far in the NHL. When you consider that Kane's rocking the 3.6.
When did he get picked up in our league?
Late. People were so afraid to go there. It was in our league, that was like a $10 million investment. People thought he was going to go to jail for rape. But here he is. In that same year, marred by the controversy, just dominating. I mean, Sagan and Ben, right? They're putting up incredible seasons and all the hype attached to them, but they're only rocking 3.0s, which is incredible. 3.0, to have a 3.0 HFI on your file is ridiculously high. But Patrick Kane owning a 3.6 now, that's like Mario Lemieux territory.
I think this is his year.
Anyways, those are your only 3.0s on the season. Kane, Sagan, and Ben. So if you have all three, you are loving life. Dreisaitl, an honorable mention, by the way. Only 8 games played, but Dreisaitl in those 8 games rocking a 3.2. How do we not talk about Klingberg?
The Colonel.
Colonel Klingberg?
Colonel Klingberg.
Oh, David. 9 points in his last 7 games. 7 assists, 6 power play points. This is... I mean, we talked about this last week. We said if you drafted Sagan, Ben, and Klingberg, you had the trifecta. You had the holy triumvirate.
Gosh, could you imagine if somebody did that?
Oh, could you imagine how they'd be doing? Just imagine. Like, just imagine.
Imagine.
Dave, what he's saying is that I have those players, and I am, at this point, I don't want to say too much, but so far... It seems to be driving...
a winning combination.
A winning combination, if you will. Rasmus Ristolainen. Okay, you have one of the best names in all of the NHL.
Rasmus.
Who'd have thunk that one team could have Rasmus Ristolainen and Žemgis Girgensons? Bravo, Buffalo. I mean, not only... Are you dominating from a growth perspective by acquiring guys like Bogosian, you know, like grizzled, tough, reliable players, and then drafting studs like Eichel and having a player like what's his name, Reinhart, to also build around? But you're bringing in players that are fun to talk about.
With consonants and vowels.
Lots of vowels, lots of consonants, fun letters. Rasmus Ristolainen! Only that was one of my songs.
Come on, down.
I could scream that every night. Rasmus Ristolainen, 4 points in 3 games, 3 assists, only 1 on the power play. Through the HFI filter, Rasmus Ristolainen has hit that magic 1.4 that we want from a defenseman. I can't believe he's done it in Buffalo. He's done it so fast. 11 points in 17 games, 5 power play points, 45 shots on goal. Just last week, through this filter, he had the 7th best HFI among defensemen at a 2.6. So that's pretty serious. He should be on your radar if people are still ignoring him in their league. And also worth knowing that Bogosian is back in the picture, and that should only help Buffalo's situation. And already they were 6-3-1 in their last 10, 8-8-1 now on the season, and only 46 goals against for the Buffalo Sabres. Which should take us to discussion about Linus Ullmark, the goaltender, only 10% ownership, David. But 4-2 now, he's got a .924 save percentage, and in those 6 games, he's got 2 shutouts. Chad Johnson, all due respect, Linus Ullmark called, and he wants your job.
Linus or Linus?
I don't know. I would have to think it's Linus. I'm no linguistics professor like Noam Chomsky, but I would think it's Linus. You think it's Linus? I really don't think it's Linus.
I'm a traditionalist.
It shows that neither of us have watched a Sabres game with him participating. Who else should we talk about? Anyone else you wanted to get to, or can I just rip through some stuff?
Keep ripping. Remember, I was just walking by.
All right. Well, we talked about Artemi Panarin a bunch of times already on previous podcasts, but if you're still not there yet. Obviously, playing with Kane and Anisimov, a pretty lethal second unit, but 6 points in 4 games, 4 goals and 11 shots, all at even strength. He's got 18 points in 18 games now. He's hit the 2.0 HFI mark, which is ridiculous for a rookie. 6 goals on 45 shots. He had 4 just in the last week, none of them coming on the power play. 14 even strength points, less than $1 million bucks, And it looks like your best bet for a Calder Trophy, David. Chicago Blackhawks needed something like that. And boom, there you go. Seth Jones, I want to talk about him real quick. Pretty good ownership, 45% now. But 5 points in his last three games, 4 assists, 1 goal and 7 shots. The obvious thing to point out is that 3 points came in one game against Winnipeg in a 7-0 blowout. And then you had 2 points posted against Ottawa, who's had some soft spots recently. So he's only posted points in 2 of his last 7 games played, David. So it's not like
a mirage, one may say.
Well, I don't want to say a mirage. It's just that the Nashville Predators have Weber, Yossi, Ekholm, Ellis. How much puck is there to go around, really, for Seth Jones? In the past 7 days, mind you, only Klingberg and Carlson have posted more points than Seth Jones. So I just wanted to say props to you, my man. But a slight little asterisk. Maybe I'd trade him. Later. Maybe I'd move him. I'd go, hey, look how hot Seth Jones is. You want to... Well, that's a whole other thing. How many people are in leagues where they would actually trade Seth Jones?
I think we're kind of deep.
In a keeper league, you're going to want to hold a guy like that for a long time, I suppose. But if you're in a one-off, man, it'd be a good time to move him. I wanted to talk about Dallas real quick. The goaltending situation that I didn't really want any part of this year. I mean, I think Jim Neal is brilliant, doing a great job in Dallas. The idea of bringing in Niemi to push and to pair with Lettinen was great. And so I thought we should check in on at least how they're doing versus one another. Niemi's gotten into 10 games. Lettinen's gotten into 9. Lettinen's 8-1 with a .921 save percentage. He's got the 4th best goaltender HFI at 1.9. Price is number 1 at 2.4. Your boy, Allen, number 2. If you didn't listen to our recent podcast, Dave was going to drop him and pick up. You were going to pick up a Calgary goaltender. Oh, my God. I should have let you do that just so I could have picked him up. Allen, number 2 through that filter at 2.1. .936 save percentage. 3 shutouts for him. Awesome. Rito Barra, number 3 at 2.0. Not a ton of games played, but a .953 save percentage. Don't sleep on the Rito Barra file. And I mean, no wonder there's rumors about Varlamov getting traded. If they got a guy like Barra that they have confidence in, why not? 4-3, a couple of shutouts already. Niemi, on the other hand, 10 games played, 6-3, .907 save percentage. Doesn't really compete with what Lettinen's done. He does have a shutout, 2.8 goals against average. But still, I think a great idea for the club to bring in those two, or to bring in that goaltender to have the pair. But if I was to lean one way, I guess it would be Lettinen. I guess that's what we're saying here. We should give some mention to Leon Draisaitl. We've talked about him a lot already, I suppose, but there are a few players, I should say, in Edmonton sucking big time right now. And Draisaitl just isn't one of them. 13-8 on the season. 5 goals on 15 shots. So should we expect that to continue? Probably not. A couple of power play goals, but tons of opportunity. I mean, really, if you look at the way that Edmonton top nine is shaping up recently, you've got Hall, Draisaitl, and please grab my Purcell on the wing on the top unit. You got Benny Poles, Lander, and Eberle on the second line. And you got Hendricks, Letestu, and Yakupov on the third line. So they're spreading the talent around. Eberle's still getting top looks on the top power play unit, but just not happening for Eberle right now. 1 goal in 5 games since his return. 1 lousy point, 9 shots on goal, a minus player. We'll get to that a little bit more later. But Draisaitl just been a beast statistically so far for the Edmonton Oilers, who, by the way, 3-7-0 in their last 10. Last in the Pacific, minus 11 as a team. I mean, they had such a good vibe going before the McDavid injury, and it has been deflated, that is for sure. But props to Draisaitl. When you consider last year, David, Draisaitl had 9 points in 37 games, 2 goals on 49 shots, and was a minus 17. I mean, that is a nightmare debut, and probably an indictment of the club for even having him in the league at that point.
And so there's only 2 games with Edmonton this week, so if you have any of those guys, bench him, look for something else.
There you go. Nice addition to the Draisaitl segment, David. Only 36% ownership in Yahoo. I checked it. I thought that was pretty low. So maybe he's available in your league. He's got 6 points in his last three games. The guy is excellent. Who else should we give some props to? I guess we could give some props to a player we actually told you to pick up a few weeks ago, Boone Jenner for the Columbus Blue Jackets. 5 points in his last three games, 13 and 18 now. Also owning a 1.6 HFI, an HFI that has gone up two seasons in a row for him. Started 1.0 2 years ago, 1.2 last year, now the 1.6. He's actually got 18 goals in his last 49 NHL games played on 132 shots. Six power play goals, a lousy plus minus in that time, but things turning around for Boone Jenner and appear to be picking up pace here, David. Another guy picking up his pace is Matt Zuccarello, New York Rangers. In our league, he floated for a while, went unowned at the beginning. And I know in some leagues he's got to be available because he doesn't have high-end ownership. 18 and 18 now. That is crazy. A 2.1 HFI. That is 20th best in the NHL, on par and slightly ahead of a guy by the name of John Tavares, on par with the surprising Mike Camilleri. 9 goals in 18 games on 36 shots for Zuccarello. That's a 25% shooting percentage. So should we expect this to maintain? I really don't think so. But he does lead the team in shooting percentage, and he does lead the team in points. Nash, on the other hand, only 2 goals in 16, 10 points. And Brass, nothing to brag about, 13 points, second best on the team in that department. But the Rangers, of course, great depth. This is a team that should dominate in the context of the playoffs. Killer defenseman. And, of course, they got Lundqvist and Nett, so top-notch goaltending. Another guy we should give respect to, or extra, another guy we should give some love to, another guy that deserves mention and should be on your radar, Yannick Hansen, the new Verbata in Vancouver. 7 points in his last 7 games, 4 goals on 11 shots, David, a plus 6. None of it coming on the power play. Getting top looks with the Sedins. Verbata, on the other hand, line 3 with Higgins and McCann. Line 2 looks like this, Bajerci, Horvat, and Vertanen. So if you're looking for a sneaky play in Vancouver over the next little while, look at that second line. Horvat really hasn't brought what we expected yet this season, but him and Vertanen both, as this year goes on, if they both stay in the lineup and maintain this type of context, should be better and better plays. Of course, Jared McCann, a good story for Vancouver. Now getting second power play unit looks on the point. But Hansen, a 2.0 HFI on his file since the 1st of November. That is top 40, on par with Steen, on par with Tyler Johnson, with Hayes, with Ristolainen, with Henrik, all of whom have been great plays. Ryan Johansson, thanks for showing up. Hopefully you did not drop him or trade him, because based on everything we've heard, this is a file that should get better and better as the season goes along. And if you look at the last 6 games, 6 points in 6 games, HFI on par with Tanner Pearson, Dan Girardi, Brassard, Zucker in Minnesota, rocking a 1.9 right now. Ryan Johansson, 1.9 HFI, pretty rock solid. Let's move on to some bombage.
Absolutely.
Let's drop some bombs. Jonathan Bernier, drop the hammer on Jonathan Bernier.
Ugh.
Another brutal goal Sunday night. Dude, you're done. Like, that's done. It, man. Like, Reimer's job to take now. Babcock doesn't want to have this back and forth business. He wants a guy to take the job and run with it. And all you're proving to everyone here in Toronto is that you can be counted on to give up a soft goal every two games, if not every game. He says he lost it, but he didn't even have his stick down in position. It was brutal, and it was bomb-worthy. Also want to drop the hammer, Carl Hagelin. Nick Ritchie called, and he wants your job. Hags, down. Richie up. 0 points. Here's the bad stuff. 0 points.
Hags to riches. Hags
to riches. Sorry. Da-da-da-da-da. 0 points in 7 games. 14 shots on goal. Dude, they're paying you $5 million this year. You were acquired to make a difference. Does this fall at the feet of Ryan Kessler? Well, we can't put it all at the feet of Ryan Kessler. We have to give some of it to Hags, and today's the day. 17 goals in each of his last 2 seasons. He's got 17 games played and only one buried on 31 shots and a minus play to boot, minus 8. That is brutal. A side note, we told you to drop Jacob Trouba. We bombed him
Trouba
last week.
Trouba no Gooding Jr.
Trouba no Gooding Jr. We told you to drop him last week, despite how much we love the player. And a footnote here, at 1 point in his last 7 games on a minus 6. Winnipeg not necessarily having the best week. David wanted to drop the hammer on the one and only Mark Giordano. 1 point in 7 games. It's ugly, folks. Calgary 4-5-1 in their last 10. 6 wins in 19 now for the Flames. And what Giordano's done in those last 7 games, David, on par with the one and only Griffin Reinhart.
Oh, the Griff.
The Griff, who's basically a third-pairing defenseman that has hardly played. I think
so. So if you're in a really deep league,
yeah,
and you need some, take a look at the Griff.
He's basically on par with old man Zidlicky right now. He's got 6 points in 19 games. The 0.6 defenseman HFI on Giordano's file is brutal. Not worthy of consideration for a winning fantasy roster right now. When you consider he was 1.8 in each of the last 2 seasons, which is an elite defenseman HFI, this is huge. This is a huge bummer that has yet to correct itself. Am I saying rush out and go grab Giordano because someone's probably desperate to get rid of him? I don't know that I'm saying that right yet. I don't want to say that. I would say that this is way below what we should expect from Mark Giordano, and it's an opportunity, I would think, to go get him. But I can't say with great confidence
that I would not go out of your way to acquire him.
Things are going to get that much better. I will say, though, that Bennett kid looks awesome. Monahan's coming on. Goudreau's been bringing it since day one. I like Brody. I think Hamilton's looked better. If they can just get the goaltending sorted and stabilized, this club should run. So I would take a chance on Giordano if somebody wanted to trade him to me. Some notices. Zetterberg, your owners are freaking out, bro. 1.6 game. Dats is back, so you hope that's the remedy. But Dats, you're on bomb notice. Dats is back. Yeah. Burakovsky, another player that many thought would sort of emerge this year as a bona fide option. 22 points, 53 last year, 9 goals. Only 6-16, but you really only got to look to Williams, Kuznetsov, Oshie all being there to understand that he wasn't necessarily going to get the looks people thought he might have gotten before the team made its most recent additions. But I will put you on notice, sir, before we completely bomb you out of the equation. No. Someone that would be bombed right out of my equation, David, if he was on my team, drop the hammer on Ryan Callahan.
Ryan Callahan.
I'm not paying you that kind of money to hang out on my team.
Absolutely.
6 points in 19 games. The 0.6 HFI on your file, bro, is the worst of your career. I'm sure you're not aware of that. 1 power play point this year, a minus 5. 4 goals on 32 shots. Now, he still gets top looks every now and then, but no wonder they're giving guys like Name Stinkinoff. I just Don Cherry'd that. Nemensnikov. Top looks. Obviously, they're not getting enough from Ryan Callahan, but I would no longer have you participate on my roster, sir.
Ixnay on the Oster Ray.
Ixnay on the Oster Ray. Some randoms. Vasilevsky's back in on Monday. The Bishop file, not a good one for keeper leaguers. This is Split City, just like Dallas, the way I see it. Vasilevsky is a monster. His last outing, not the greatest, but he's going to get lots of looks, David. Drouin is hurt again. Got hurt on Saturday, so he will not be playing the start of this week. Hunter Shattenkirk, called up by the Vancouver Canucks, sat on Saturday, actually, but apparently is going to play Monday night, taking 24th overall in 2013. With a name like that, dude, fuck, you should be a Buffalo Sabre. Hunter Shattenkirk playing Monday night. Of course, Sutter and Burrows still out for the Canucks, so an opportunity for Hunter S. Nick Ritchie is apparently lining up with Kessler and Stewart on the second line at practice. We told you earlier not to sleep on the Nick Ritchie file. It appears that's where he starts. Hossa appears to be waking up finally. He's not dead. He still plays well. Things were going to turn for this guy. Of course, I don't think he's exactly going to lay down and block pucks with his face in the regular season, but the numbers are starting to come for Hossa, and of course, he's sitting there on the top line with Toews, and now Dano, who you should not be sleeping on, who we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Barkov is back, which means Bukestad's down to line two, and I believe Trocheck will probably end up on the wing. Probably mean a spike for production for Trocheck over the next little while. We told you last week not to sleep on the fact that the Leafs had four games this past week, and would be a good time for you to take some chances there. Just to follow up on that, Lupul continues to be in a groove. Two goals in those four games. He now has 7 goals in 18 on the season on 49 shots on goal. Why does that matter? Well, he only had 97 shots in 55 games last year. That's not even 2 per, and he's just under 3 per this year and burying. So it's a much different Lupul that we're seeing so far. Gardner and Holland both had 3 points in those 4 games last week. Parenteau had 3 and 4, so hopefully you took a chance on some Leafs. Thomas Vanek has become Jaromir Jagr, essentially. He just keeps scoring. 3 goals in his last 3. He's got 13 points in 16 games now. 1.6 HFI. That is up from the brutal 1.3 that put him off our radar last year. 1.6, man. He keeps his pace up. He's going to be over 1.7 and back into bona fide territory. Someone that I think is due, Jacob Josephson. New Jersey Devils, of course, the Devils competing. Schneider being a monster. The coach appears to be making a difference. You do the eye test, he looks good. He's looked solid. I might even go so far as to say he was one of the best players on the ice last week in the game that I tuned into. He's got 15 shots on goal in his last 4. He's got 0 goals on 28 shots. He plays on the power play. He plays shorthanded. I say Josephson's due. Take a chance. I think this is the week. Brendan Saad appears to be turning things around. 7 goals now in 17 games. 48 shots, too. 5 power play goals. The HFI up to 1.6. He's on the verge of hitting 1.7 as well. He had a 1.4 last year and a 1.3 before that. So we're seeing the trajectory you want to see from a player of this age. And with this context, obviously the Columbus Blue Jackets have been brutal. Brendan Saad with those 5 power play goals. I mean, it took him 160 games over the last 2 seasons to rack up 5 power play goals. And lastly, with Anaheim having 4 games this week, don't sleep on the Rickard Rakell file. Another great name. You could also be a Buffalo Sabre. 2 power play points in his last 2 games. Getting looks with Perry and Getzlaff. Anaheim, 4 games. Don't sleep on Cal. All right. Thanks for tuning in. That's us. That's the podcast. See y'all next Monday. Have a safe and loving 7 days. I'm still trying to get my head around everything that's gone on in the world in the last week since last Friday. Fills my heart with great fucking sadness. And to think that people lost their lives for attending a rock and roll show just fucking blows my mind. Right? So heartbroken by all of that. And I just hope you have a great week full of happy days and loving nights. Until next week.